Welcome to In Your Corner, a program designed with you in mind. The Christian life is a fight, and we want you to know that we're in your corner. God the Father loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you, and has given his Holy Spirit to guide you and keep you, and has given you people like myself in the body of Christ to help shepherd you along. Yes, we're in your corner. And the Bible says, if God be for us, then who then can be against us? We're here to help you get your day started with song, scripture, and prayer. Because we're going to beat the devil, we got to get filled with the Spirit of God. Then we got to get dressed up with the Word of God. Then we got to get prayed up with all prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving to Almighty God. Yes, we're in your corner. So go wake up your husband. Go wake up your wife. Go wake up them children. Go wake up that oldest girl. Go wake up that youngest girl. Go wake up that oldest boy and that youngest boy. Wake them all up this morning and let them know that In Your Corner is on the air. Go wake them up now. Let them know that In Your Corner is on the air. We're beaming the love of God from the Dallas-Fort Worth area throughout the known world, where the internet radio can be found. All right, now go wake them up. Go get them out the bed, sleepyhead. Oh, I know what I need to do. Let me go out here into the chicken yard. Let me go to the chicken yard. Come on, roosters. Come on, roosters. Wake them up. Get them on out the bed this morning. Wake them up, roosters. Wake them up. Wake them up. Wake them up. Get them out the bed, sleepyhead. Get out the bed, sleepyhead. Wake them up. I got three roosters. Benny, Red, and Crow. Come on. Come on, Benny, Red. Come on, Red. That Red, that Red, Red gonna get you up. Once Red start crowing, Red don't stop until he sees some lights come on. He needs to see some lights come on. All right, thank y'all, roosters. Thank y'all, roosters. Let me go get an old song here. This is an old song. Say, give me that old time religion.
Give me that old.
This is the Caravans. This is the Caravans. Come on to the microphone, James Cleveland, singing with him now.
Hallelujah, but I'm
give me that old-time religion. Looking for religion.
The religion like it used to be.
Give me that old-time
religion. Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, but I'm
give me that old-time
religion.
I'm looking for religion.
The religion like it used to be.
Give me that old-time
religion.
Looking for religion like it used to be. Give me that
old time religion.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It was good enough for my mother.
Hallelujah.
It was good enough for my father.
Hallelujah.
It would help me
hallelujah
through my father.
Hallelujah.
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 Give me that
old time religion.
I'm looking for religion. Paul and Silas. It was good for the Hebrew children.
Hallelujah.
It would help you.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Lord, give me that old.
Hallelujah.
I'm looking for religion.
Religion
give me that old.
Oh,
oh, oh. Lord, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, give me that
old.
It gets in your hand. Give me that
oh,
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 God, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It was good enough for my mother
hallelujah
when she got in trouble.
Hallelujah.
It was good.
Hallelujah.
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 Give me that old time
religion.
It gets in your feet along and make you shout sometime. I want the whole.
That was the Caravans, James Cleveland. That's where he got his start, ladies and gentlemen. He got his start with the Caravans. That was, I think it was about three ladies and James Cleveland. All right, that's your song for today. That's your song for today. It's time to read the Bible. It's time to read the Bible. Go get your Bible. We'll be reading this morning out of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8 through Acts chapter 10. That's Acts chapter 8 through 10. Reading along this morning with the Bible Experience.
And Saul approved of their killing him.
What?
On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed,
"This man is rightly called the great power of God."
They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said,
"Give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit."
Peter answered,
"May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord, in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin."
Then Simon answered,
"Pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen to me."
After they had further proclaimed the word of the Lord and testified about Jesus, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip,
"Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza."
So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet.
"Do you understand what you are reading?"
Philip asked.
"How can I? Unless someone explains it to me."
So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip,
"Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?"
Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said,
"Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?"
And he gave orders to stop the chariot.
"Stop you."
Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. Then the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him,
"Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?"
"Who are you, Lord?"
"I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,"
he replied.
"Now, get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do."
The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision.
"Ananias."
"Yes, Lord,"
he answered. The Lord told him,
"Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight."
"Lord, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name."
But the Lord said to Ananias,
"Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and to their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name."
Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said,
"Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit."
Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked,
"Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name?
And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priest?"
Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. After many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night, they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened. Living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. As Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years.
Aeneas,
Peter said to him,
Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat.
Immediately, Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him,
Please, come at once.
Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said,
Tabitha, get up.
She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said,
Cornelius.
Cornelius stared at him in fear.
What is it, Lord?
He asked. The angel answered,
Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea.
When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching a city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open, and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him,
Get up, Peter. Kill and eat.
Surely not, Lord,
Peter replied.
I have never eaten anything impure or unclean.
The voice spoke to him a second time.
Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.
This happened 3 times, and immediately the sheep was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him,
Simon, 3 men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them.
Peter went down and said to the men,
I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?
The men replied,
We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say.
Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up.
"Stand up,"
he said.
"I am only human myself."
While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them,
"You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with Gentiles or visit them. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?"
Cornelius answered,
"3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 in the afternoon. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea.' So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us."
Then Peter began to speak.
"I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts those from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the 3rd day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name."
While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. But then Peter said,
"Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have."
So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days.
All right, that was our scripture reading for today. We read out of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8 through Acts chapter 10. May God bless those who have heard and who read his holy word. It's prayer time now, y'all. Come on, y'all, let's pray. Let's gather around the altar. Come on, y'all, let's make our family circle. Let's circle up, let's circle up, let's circle up, and it's time to pray. Family that prays together is a family that stays together. You can't be too old or too young for prayer. All of us need some prayer. Come on, y'all, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do praise you for giving us another wonderful day, a day we didn't earn or merit, but it was by your amazing grace that we have another day. And Lord, we thank you, dear God, that you done brought us all the way, dear God, from Monday all the way to Friday. Now, Lord, we're getting ready for the weekend. We're getting ready now, Lord, for Sunday morning. Lord, we pray now for the preparations on Saturday. Whatever needs to be done at the church, we pray, dear God, that everything can be in order. We pray for the cleaning crew. We pray for the audio video crew. Lord, we pray that all the equipment, dear God, will be working properly. Lord, everything checks out well, and whatever is wrong, we pray, dear God, that it'll be fixed, dear God, in time for service on Sunday morning. And then, dear God, we pray for all of the rehearsals, dear God, the choirs that rehearsing, dear God, the praise team, the dance team, the step teams, dear God, that's rehearsing, dear God. Lord, we pray for all of the workers, dear God, that's going to be working, dear God, on Sunday morning, dear God. We pray for the parking lot crew, the greeters, the ushers, dear God, the trustees, the deacons, dear God. Lord, we pray for all the preachers, dear God. Then, Lord, we pray for the pastors and those that's going to be preaching your word on Sunday morning. Lord, we pray that you will endow them with power on high. Give them the Holy Spirit power, dear God. We pray, dear God, that you will give them messages, dear God, that will save the lost and would encourage to save and rescue backsliders, dear God. Oh, dear God, we pray that you will give them messages, Lord, in a mighty way, dear God, that's going to encourage your people, and it's going to cause them, dear God, to want Jesus in their lives. Oh, dear God. Then, Lord, we want to pray for all of our workers today, dear God, as they're getting ready to go to work, dear God. We just pray that you will go with them and go before them and go behind them. Bless your people with the blessing they stand in need of, and we'll be careful to praise you for it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. We done sung our song, we done had our scripture, we done said our prayers. Clock on the wall is saying that's all for this portion of In Your Corner. Thank you so kindly for joining us this morning. All right, let me encourage you now to stay tuned for the rest of the day. Remember our format here at KLITV. It's at the top of the hour, we minister in the word. And at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. So get ready for that early morning sermon. I'm getting ready to get that on for you. We'll have to play a couple of commercials or so, but we'll get that on for you. All right. Then at 7 o'clock, I'll be back again with Ghostbusters. Because we got some strange things happening in the neighborhood, somebody needs to say something about it. And then at 8 o'clock, I'll be back again in the Situation Room, where I give you a Christian response to the issues of our day. Then at 9 o'clock, we'll take a look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of a sermon that I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Listen. If you ever come in this Dallas-Fort Worth area, you gotta stop by and worship the Lord with us right here. Let me give you a warning now. Let me warn you that you're gonna enjoy yourself. Yes, you are. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. It's a radio drama. Real live people, make your face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book, let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. Then at 12 o'clock, if you miss any of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker about us. Because we are in your corner.